WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Over the weekend, the U.S. carried out a military strike against the sovereign nation of Venezuela, seizing its president Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores, and bringing them to America to face charges of narco-terrorism. The couple made their first appearance in a Manhattan court this morning. Now, in a few minutes, we'll hear from a political scientist and security expert about what this means for the Chicago region. Here's a taste of what he said our mayor and governor need to do.
The mayor and the governor should already be announcing we need a 3-month moratorium around the fall elections. No federal military agents in Chicago or Illinois.
That full conversation in just a bit. But first, how are Illinois' leaders reacting to this major news out of South America? Well, Governor J.B. Pritzker called the U.S. strike unconstitutional. And Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson said, quote, it violates international law and dangerously escalates the possibility of full-scale war. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth both said the administration needs to consult and brief members of Congress. Now, speaking of Congress, on today's In the Loop, I also checked in with two members from Illinois, Robin Kelly, who represents the 2nd District, and Mike Quigley, who represents the 5th. Congresswoman Kelly kicked things off with her reaction to the Venezuelan takeover.
First of all, Americans don't want our troops fighting in other countries over oil. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. And if you listen to President Trump, you know, for him, that's what this is really, really about. And he's not running his own country. You know, people are, you know, housing is an issue, cost of living is an issue, affordability is an issue. And I can go on and on. Health care, which we're going back in to vote on the ACA tax credits this week. Mm-hmm. You know, all these issues that we're having, and he's going to another country. And I'm sure between all of us on the radio, we could think of a lot of people that we consider to be bad leaders. Are we going to go into every country and police them and take out the bad leaders? You know, I don't think so. And I don't think that's what the American people want. And how does that, how is that helping America, quite frankly, with the issues that we are dealing with? And what's next?
Yes.
You know, he reached back behind him and said, the three guys behind me are going to run the country. I don't think those three guys knew that.
Yeah. In the statement that you released over the weekend, you said a lot, but you demanded, quote, a vote on the War Powers Resolution to stop President Trump from launching further military action without congressional approval. And this, for folks who don't know, is the federal law that limits the president's ability to commit the country to a war. And it requires that he notify Congress within 48 hours of deploying troops. How confident are you, Congresswoman, that this vote would come to the table?
Supposedly it's going to come to the table in the Senate. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. Then hopefully, but we know Speaker Johnson is not really the speaker. It feels like President Trump is our speaker. So we'll see what he does. But I'm hoping that people realize they have a voice. They have a voice. Let people know. Let the people that represent you know how you feel. No one is saying Maduro is a good man. He should not be the president, the ruler of that country, because that's what he was. He should not be that. But also, is what we're doing really going to help? You know, like what is the plan? And again, you know, the president just talked about oil, not anything else. So a way of, you know, helping off the well-off and well-connected that he,
right.
you know, loves to help out. So, you know, you never know there, but hopefully, you know, my Republican colleagues will think about their vote and what they're doing. And, you know, hopefully it'll pass in the Senate. But as you said,
right.
you know, no guarantees. You never know.
Yeah,
but we're still going to call for it.
Yeah, it sounds like you still have a lot of questions remain for you, Congresswoman.
Oh.
As you said, what is the plan?
We don't want boots on the ground. We don't want to put our military in harm's way. And I do, you know, want to compliment our military because they did, you know, pull this off with seemingly, you know, no mistakes or anything. They did a great job. But, you know, we don't want our military to have to continue to do things like that. You know, he's talked about Greenland. He's talked about Mexico. He's talked about, you know, Colombia. He just wants to dominate, it sounds like, the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all, you know, people say no kings, but, you know, I refer to him as the dictator. And, you know, even our friends, like different people around the world, they don't like what we did. They do not like what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Various countries that we have good relationships with, you know, have called us out also. And how can we talk about other countries, you know, going into other countries, and we're doing the same thing.
Right. That's U.S. Congresswoman Robin Kelly of Illinois' 2nd District. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year.
You too. We'll turn now to another of our state's representatives in Washington, Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois' 5th District. Hi, Congressman. Welcome back to In the Loop.
Thank you.
You heard my conversation a bit there with the Congresswoman, and you
sure.
also said in your own statement over the weekend that you've called on Congress for months to reassert its constitutional power with this Trump administration. In your statement, your exact words were actually, it's time to restore the authority of the Constitution. How exactly does that happen, Congressman?
Look, at this point, it's the War Powers Resolution. But yeah, you're right. I'm in my 17th year there, and we've been talking about this since I've been there. The last time Congress actually declared war was World War II. So in some respects, people think, well, it's always been the president's fault. And clearly, in this case, it is. But it's often the fact that Congress doesn't want to take those tough votes, and it needs to. When President Obama was considering the conflict in Syria, he was asking Congress, what do you want to do? And those with the loudest voices were often silent, because they didn't want to take that tough vote.
Yeah.
Well, this is a tough vote for me. You know, we're not just going in and having a regime change. This is nation building with the seemingly promise from the president that there will be more ahead.
How do you think this impacts America's standing with our allies and with other countries?
Yeah, it's very disturbing. Obviously, we've seen the joint resolution from Spain, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Uruguay, strongly condemning the actions. I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes to, this is a president whose foreign policy has been largely transactional. Even in Ukraine, he wants the U.S. to profit. If we're going to help provide arms, well, NATO has to buy them and then supply them to Ukraine. And we're going to use the frozen Russian assets, but the United States has to benefit from all that. You're clearly seeing that here.
Mm.
So the question you have to ask is, now, how does China and Russia look at this? Russia looks beyond Ukraine to, let's say, the Baltics, and China to Taiwan. We have lost even more legitimacy when we push back against one country invading another. Right. If you're not going to follow international law, rules, or norms, then how difficult is it for you to step out and say that's wrong and we have to do something? So not only has he done nothing to help a democratic country like Ukraine get wiped off the face of the earth, he's given a moral equivalency to that conflict. He has now invaded another country without even Article 1 support, without even Congress saying yes. And obviously, he has not advised Secretaries Hegseth Hegseri Rubio were saying this is not going to be about regime change. Well, it is, it was, it will be. Mm-hmm. And again, the concern will be, where do they go next?
Yeah, right. And again, we're only a few days into the new year. Tell us what you're watching then in 2026 out of D.C. and from the Trump administration.
From the Trump administration, I see this conflict as at least a distraction from inflation, from Epstein files, from corruption, from bad news at home. But I remind people, when a tyrant tells you he's going to do something, you should pay attention. So I think, well, this is just the second year of this president's four-year term. Mm-hmm. Will he continue to move toward that, frankly, tyrannical actions, going after his enemy, weaponizing the tools of legitimate democracy? I think you look toward 2026 and recognize what we've learned in history from Putin and others, from others, right, that they can be elected democratically, right? Hungary is another example. But then you see those leaders use the tools of democracy, weaponize them to go after their enemies, right? Mm. Take over the press, demonize certain groups within the community. And you see it obviously here taking place with the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm, and others. So, look, buckle up. Yeah. Now's the time to get engaged and involved. I see a president doubling down on all these issues. Yeah.
That was Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois' 5th District. Time now for that interview that I promised earlier with Robert Pape, director of the Chicago Project on Security and Threats at the University of Chicago. Now that Maduro is gone from Venezuela, major questions are mounting about what comes next and what the U.S. takeover of Venezuela means for us here in Chicago and Illinois. In this next conversation, we'll try to be left with more answers than questions. You just heard it. Congressional leaders want to take back their congressional power. Well, here's Professor Pape on the path forward.
I don't think we have much of a path forward, certainly not in the next year, maybe after the midterms. Mm. But the big picture here is President Trump is sending us down a dark road. I have studied regime change, political violence for 30 years. I've taught for the U.S. Air Force in detail how these operations unfold. And the fact of the matter is the occupation of Venezuela, and that is what has happened. We now control the government. Mm. Occupation is not about how many boots are on the ground. It's who controls the government. Mm-hmm. The control of Venezuela is not going to be good for Venezuela. It's not going to be good for America, and it's not going to be good for Chicago.
What conversations are you hearing around this? I'm hearing a lot of chatter. You know, some of it a little bit confusing. You know, you'll see a lot of outrage about that this has been done. But then you hear folks say, well, you know, I'm Venezuelan. I think that this is fine. I'm
so
happy.
I have been on the phone, on Zoom, pretty much for 48 hours, literally in the car on the way up to different. So discussing this. And what everybody is looking for are precedents. And you saw this in the last. Is this like Iraq 2.0 and so forth? It's really important to say that we have never in America's history, we need to be understand this, that we have never had a president cavalierly announce the seizure of another country's prime assets as the main objective in an operation. Mm. Now, we've had fig leaves. We were in 2003 in Iraq. There was concern we were going after the oil. But President Bush never said we were going after the oil. We never took control. In fact, Trump for decades has complained we didn't take Iraq's oil.
Yeah. So, and unlike President Bush when we invaded Iraq, President Trump didn't have to manufacture consent to take this action.
And moreover, it's a little even more, not just his rhetoric. If you look at the Armada, again, I've got a lot of experience in understanding force sizes here. Those 30 ships, these are not just random ships. There are 10,000 Marines on those ships. Why would you have that particular force size? It's to control, not Caracas. You need 150,000 for that. Mm-hmm. It's the oil fields. And I've been saying to my researchers here at Seapost, our center, for months, this was always about the the oil. If you look at the four sizes here, you would see immediately this is sized to control in the first instance oil fields if you need to, not Caracas, not 30 million people in Venezuela. And unfortunately, even with those forces, this is not going
to
go well.
Yeah, with regards to the oil, let's listen to what Trump had to say to the press yesterday.
Venezuela right now is a dead country. We have to bring it back, and we're going to have big investments by the oil companies to bring back the infrastructure. And the oil companies are ready to go. They're going to go in. They're going to rebuild the infrastructure. You know, we built it to start off with many years ago. They took it away.
Is this about oil, or is this a regime takeover?
This is about oil. This is about putting in power a regime that will give America the oil. That is what this
coercion. So it's about both.
It's about both. But more, it's also important to say that this is really a delusion, the idea that we will ever control the oil in Venezuela. So as President Trump just said, well, the oil companies have to go in. That means civilian contractors have to go in droves. Your listeners can watch Landman and see what that actually looks like. It's the same thing here. And notice they would be really vulnerable to a handful of snipers shooting at them. Well, that is what those civilian contractors would face if they went in there. So this is a problem here as we go forward. Venezuela is primed for guerrillas, primed for insurgency. It's got the mountains of Afghanistan, the jungles of Vietnam. It is perfect for small little groups to get line of sight at these civilian contractors working in these fields, oil fields here. And that's why those oil companies, you're already hearing them saying, we're not going in. And the reason is because this is way too dangerous.
What do you think about these charges against Maduro and his wife?
You show me the man, I'll show you the crime. This is Beria. This is Beria is that famous KGB, yeah, head of the KGB from the 50s and the and Stalin. So this is exactly, this is just simply a does anybody really believe that even if the jury in New York lets Maduro off, Trump is just going to put him right back in office? I think SEAL Team 6 is going to have another mission.
So tell me, Professor Pape, I mean, any bearing here on Chicago,
Illinois,
and our region?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've all taken a sigh of relief that Operation Midway Blitz is over. The Supreme Court actually has helped us out here. But
I mean, not all. I mean, it's not over. It's not over.
It's not over. And we need to understand.
Immigration enforcement is still alive and well here in the city.
Trump is normalizing the use of force, the use of violence for his particular political goals. He is not hiding it. He's not sugarcoating it. And it's not just with the Chiopolis post here. It's with the use of force in Venezuela directly for plunder to take the oil. So what we need to understand is this is extremely dangerous for Chicago. Chicago has essentially been the poster child for him using force against a liberal city. In fact, he'd been very upfront about not liking the leadership of our city and our state. And this is something that we have to be particularly concerned about going forward. Now, what should we do?
Yes.
I think that the mayor and the governor should already be announcing we need a 3-month moratorium around the fall elections. No federal military agents in Chicago or Illinois. And we shouldn't wait and see, well, maybe they'll show up and we'll respond after the fact. I think we need to understand this tiger has shown his stripes. He's shown his stripes many times here. And these elections are going to become, this is not a guy who you see much belief in democracy either around the world or here at home. So this is something we need to be concerned about. And what we should already be doing is saying, hands off, 3 months around the election. Now, some will say, well, wait, we don't want him coming ever with this. No, we need to focus on the security of the elections, not wait until a threat emerges and then we'll respond.
Do you think our local leadership gets that?
I think they need to hear this, and they need to articulate the window of 3 months around the election. So neither Governor Pritzker or Mayor Johnson has said these words, and I think they would understand it. I think their staffs are going to say, well, if you say that, then you're giving sort of green lights to other things.
Right.
We need to understand that right now there seems to be a tidal wave of support against Trump, and these elections look like they're going to go against MAGA and Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, that means you can already be thinking that there's going to be some conniving thoughts going on. Well, how do you deal with that? Well, you can wait for them to emerge and then have them be surprised.
Or you can be proactive.
And that's what I am suggesting. I'm saying the price of losing that election is so great that we need to protect it now, starting now. And that means you articulate a 3-month ban around the election where no federal militarized agents in the city, and you say that will be thought of as election interference now. Mm. You don't wait until after the fact. You articulate this now.
Yeah, you know, so much of 2025 was spent talking about whether Trump could do such a thing, right? Could Trump do this? You know, every executive order, can he do that? And then he does. We're starting off 2026 in a very similar fashion.
We are constantly reactive behind the eight ball because the first conversation is, oh, we don't think it's real. We think this is bluster. If you look at what Trump has been saying for months, he's been talking about the Western Hemisphere. He's been talking about Greenland. He's been talking about Panama. If you look at the document that the National Security Strategy he just put out a few weeks ago, it clearly articulates conquest or thoughts of conquest in the Western Hemisphere. Well, then it's a surprise that we wake up on Saturday and it's actually happening.
Yeah.
I think this is a big mistake. I think we are waiting and then trying to respond after the fact, when this has now happened over and over and over again. And I think we need to see that this has real risks for Chicago and our elections going forward in November. So the idea that this is just now a foreign policy problem and we're going to talk about this only. No, President Trump is using military force in ways no executive has ever done in our country. Let's just be clear about
that. And getting away with it.
And getting away with it because people are being reactive. And so the way to be proactive is to identify the red lines for ourselves, not wait for the Supreme Court to identify red lines. And our red line is the election. We need to protect the sanctity of the elections.
Yeah. So, I mean, and also look back to past precedent, as you brought it before, right? Look back to how U.S. involvement in the past has worked in other countries and see what we can learn from that.
Well, and what we see is, unfortunately, the occupations have not gone well. I mean, you can ask any of the guests coming on television for the precedent that has ever worked. And having studied this for 30 years, I could tell you they don't exist. So we don't have that magical precedent of when we went in with guns blazing and suddenly we produced democracy that kind of magically emerged. We just don't have, and that's not as if we haven't tried in Iraq multiple times, Libya, Afghanistan. In fact, President Trump's not even talking about building democracy in Venezuela because he wants the oil. This is about the oil. And even that mission, which seems a more modest mission, you might think for the military, I'm telling you, the military is going to have a very difficult time because those 10,000 Marines, they may go in and try to seize the perimeter of those oil fields. The problem is going to be that, again, Venezuela is just primed for insurgency. This is not a situation where the rest of the Venezuela is just going to back down and give up their gold, their liquid gold. This is liquid gold. There'll be many people who want that oil.
Oh, boy. So much to watch here. Robert Pape is director of the Chicago Project on Security and Threats over at the University of Chicago. Thank you so much for breaking that down for us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons. Join me here every weekday for in-depth coverage of Chicago news and culture. Let's talk again soon.